But it's such a wonderful day. I invite your attention. We're going to just really look at one verse. And really, some would call this a devotional. I call it a meditation, not a sermon. I realize in the afternoon it could be a challenge after a wonderful meal to keep our attention for a long period of time, but I hope for a brief time. We can just think about Psalm 33, and specifically that last verse, Psalm 33, verse 22. The psalmist says, it's a prayer. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. You know, what does the word loving kindness mean? We've mentioned it a little bit this morning. The NIV translates it as unfailing love. And I think that's a wonderful translation. In our New American Standard, they translate it as loving kindness. I think in the King James, most of the references I'll refer to it as mercy. We're going to be memorizing this month out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It says it this way, may your faithful love. And faithfulness is part of the word. So it's this idea of reliable love or faithful love. May your faithful love rest on us, Yahweh, for we put our hope in you. So it's God's love, but it's better than love. It's God's covenant or loyal love. Someone at lunch mentioned something to me. They said that there's a preacher, an older radio preacher, he's with the Lord now, who used to define the difference between God's love and God's loving kindness this way. God's love is like when your grandma makes fresh homemade bread and then cuts you a piece and gives it to you. God's loving kindness is when your grandma does that but first puts strawberry jelly on it. And maybe that, I don't know if that's theologically correct, but it's the idea that it's love is great, but it's better than love. Because again, we've all been exposed to people who say they love us, and maybe for a while they even do. But God's faithful love is just that. It's faithful. It's reliable. It's something that we can count on. So why are we here this afternoon? We're here to praise the Lord for His loving kindness, for His faithful love. And we'll just look at a few different texts, and you can just watch on the screen if you'd like. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. Now, as most of you know, the Psalms are written in Hebrew poetry, and they rhyme a meaning. They don't rhyme sound. So it's not like roses are red, violets are blue, I love you. It's a rhyme of meaning. So you look at this psalm, Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. And then the psalmist will say the same thing, but use different words. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness. Faithfulness, parallel with loving kindness. The psalmist knows that. That's what he's exalting in God's character. That as God is faithful to us, how does He show it? By faithfully loving us. And that's loving kindness. And it's because of that faithful love, that loving kindness of God, that we're forgiven of our sins. Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Notice the parallel structure here. God, we're saying according to your loving kindness. And then again, according to the greatness of your compassion. God being so compassionate to us, even in our sin, that because of His loving kindness, we can experience forgiveness. And so we come together even this afternoon to rejoice in this loving kindness of God by which we can be forgiven. And that's all throughout the Scriptures. A couple of Psalms, Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in what? Abounding in loving kindness. Psalm 103, verse 8. And then it goes on in that same psalm, verse 10. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. And thus we could go a little bit further in that same psalm, verse 14, Psalm 103. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. How is it that we can be forgiven of our sin? How is it that we're not going to get what we deserve? Every one of us being a sinner, every one of us having sinned against the Holy God, every one of us deserving to go to hell because we have sinned. And yet God's loving kindness allowing us to be forgiven. You say, that's absolutely wonderful. It is wonderful. The psalmist says it's better than life. Psalm 63, 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. That's why we sing of the God's loving kindness. We praise him for this incredible forgiveness that we've experienced through the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's God faithfully loving us. You might not know the word is actually used in the well-known 23rd Psalm. The psalmist puts it this way towards the end, surely goodness and what? And maybe many of you have memorized it, mercy. That's our word, loving kindness. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life, the psalmist says, I know that God will be faithful to me. And when he faithfully, loyally, consistently loves me, what does the psalmist call that? What does the scriptures call that? That is what is called loving kindness. So Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Would you turn over to Psalm 106, please? I'd like to point something out in that psalm. In fact, I'd like to do a quick review of that. Psalm 106. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Incredible psalm that talks about God faithfully loving his people. What I want to do is I want to actually read this whole psalm. And I know that's challenging because it's 48 verses long. And I know it's the afternoon. But by God's grace, if you can hang in there with us, okay? We're going to read through the psalm. I'm going to point out two verses, and then I'll tie it back to Psalm 33, and our afternoon meditation will then come to a close, okay? So just a few minutes. I want to look at Psalm 106, and notice, please, how it begins. Verse 1, Psalm 106, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Here's our word. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Now we're going to read the rest of that psalm and then we're going to revisit loving kindness towards the end, if you can hang in there with me. Verse 2. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord or can show forth all his praise? How blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Yeah, that's wonderful, but that's not us. Because who here can say, I do that? I always praise the Lord, right? I practice righteousness at all times. There's no one in this room who can make that claim. Verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, in your favor toward your people. Visit me with your salvation, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Now, verse 6. Here's where we'll start getting autobiographical, right? Look for yourself in this text. We have sinned like our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We've behaved wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindness, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for the sake of his name. That's loving kindness. That he might make his power known. Thus he rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up, and he led them through deeps as through the wilderness. So he saved them from the hand of the one who hated them. That's loving kindness. And redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But verse 13, here we are again. They quickly forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but craved intensely in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. So he gave them their request, but sent a wasting disease among them. When they became envious of Moses in the camp and of Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord, the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and engulfed the company of Abiram, and a fire blazed up in their company. The flame consumed the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who has done great things in Egypt, wonders in the land of Ham, and awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses' chosen one stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word, but grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Therefore he swore to them that he would cast them down in the wilderness, and that he would cast their seed among the nations and scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also to Baal Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and interposed, and so the plague was stayed. And it was reckoned to him for righteousness to all generations forever. They also provoked him to wrath at the waters of Meribah, so that it went hard with Moses on their account, because they were rebellious against his spirit and spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with the blood. Thus they became unclean in their practices, and they played the harlot in their deeds. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. Then he gave them into the hand of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were subdued under their power. Many times he would deliver them. They, however, were rebellious in their counsel, and so sank down in their iniquity. Nevertheless, remember, God has loving kindness. He looked upon their distress when he heard their cry and remembered his covenant. That's loyalty. For their sake, and relented according to the greatness of his loving kindness. He also made them objects of compassion in the presence of all their captors. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. What is the whole Old Testament a story about? It's about a group of people that God loves, and they wander and they run away. And God has every right just to write them completely off, but he never does, nor ever will he. Why? Because God loves with a loyal, covenant-keeping love. That's loving kindness. That's what that word means. And thus, even this afternoon, we pray, may your faithful love rest on us, Yahweh, for we put our hope in you. Would you read that with me, please? May your faithful love rest on us, Yahweh, for we put our hope in you. And again, some of you may not be used to pronouncing Yahweh, and that'll be what we encounter, Lord willing, next Sunday evening as we talk about God's name. But I hope that even as we leave this afternoon and go out through the rest of this week, that this would be our prayer. Lord, our hope is in you. So we're praying that your faithful love, your loving kindness, would rest on us. And by God's grace, may it always be so.